When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business. What I call him whenever I have him on the show. Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Obviously, sports radio here in the state of Illinois. You don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys.
I'm not leaving to cover the Detroit Lions.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
With Kevin Fishbane is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. A special day at the Brat Stop, and I'm being so tantalized by the aroma of not just fried cheese curds, but they served with a side of Mertz cheddar. So you can dip cheese curds in cheese.
I feel like we've reached the peak here.
I think that may be the greatest thing I've ever seen and perhaps the greatest thing I've ever said. And Kevin Fishbane now joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Kevin, hello. It has been every week now. With the Bears on the beat, must feel like two. I've been in some of these situations where it's only Friday, and we've been through any number of serious news cycles already in the last 3 days.
Yeah, Dan, Tuesday, I think, lasted 29 hours at least. Like, that day just felt... I had the moment, like, at night, I thought to myself, I can't believe it's only Tuesday. And the number of times we've come to Halas Hall on a Wednesday thinking... We're gonna have to have some serious conversation, some real talk, if you will. You know, the way the Bears players all have real talk with each other over and over again.
Oh, great at it.
Yes, and it hasn't led to much on the field yet, but we'll see. Because I tell you what, Thomas Brown, that's a guy with real talk. And what does that lead to on the field on Sunday? We'll wait and see.
How much stock are you putting into the various reports we've had of the levels of dissension this week, now that Shane Waldron is gone, some of the things that have been said since then, and some of the reports that have come out? How do you gauge all of that? I feel like there's a lot of retroactive conversation that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both know that when a team in any sport gets to this point, it gets very chatty. And whispers become a little bit louder, and guys feel a little bit more comfortable. And look, for everything the Bears rightly said about how they've built this team with a lot of veterans, a lot of talented guys, guys with experience, more so than we've seen in the past few years, those guys are, you know, have some things to share. And if they've done it on this station, they've done it on other stations, they've done it on their own stations. And I think it's hard to, Layla, to parse out, like, what's exactly true and what was actually said, of course. But I think the ultimate thing that we come to is, like, these guys are frustrated. And they look around and they know they are more talented than their record. And they look around and they see the games that they've lost and how they've lost them. And, like, that it's understandable that they're going to get to this point where we're going to see, as you kind of said, these retroactive frustrations come out.
And I just wonder what the context of a Packers game then means. I saw Jason Leisure yesterday tweeted, there's nobody on the active roster that has ever beaten the Packers on this particular team. And I don't know if Mercedes Lewis gives a talk or if George or Virginia McCaskey gives some sort of annual talk about the meaning of this thing. And if you're a player, it's got to be like, okay, like whatever. We got a new offensive coordinator having all these questions. We got this guy trash-talking this guy. Like how much could the rivalry stuff possibly resonate this week?
Yeah, I think you kind of need a guy like Jalen Johnson, who mentioned yesterday that he's never beat the Packers, a guy like Cole Kmet. I don't know if you guys know this about Cole. He grew up in the area as a Bears fan. He has never beat the Packers. It's crazy. Huh. There's a few guys actually on the team similarly. You talk about some of these guys who have been here long enough and get that this losing streak is ugly, it's embarrassing, it's their rival. So maybe those guys speak up a little bit. You know, maybe it is somebody from the front office. I thought it was interesting that Caleb Williams was the only guy on Wednesday who brought up the Packers. He was the one who said, hey, we've got a divisional game this week. So he seems to get it in his, this is his first Bears-Packers game. So yeah, Dan, it's like, it's the worst team to play right now in some ways, but it's also like, if the Bears actually figured out a way to win, it would mean a little bit extra to actually do it against Green Bay to end that losing streak. Because I've been thinking about this week, like, if they had beat the Patriots last week, right, we would have all kind of shrugged our shoulders, said, all right, sure, of course you beat the Patriots. Everybody's beating the Patriots this year. And there wouldn't have probably been changes, and you would have rolled into Green Bay, and who knows. If you beat the Packers with everything that's going on, then you can kind of say, okay, that this means something. So, like, it's the worst time to play the Packers because the Packers are good and they're reeling. But, like, I mean, a win would feel pretty good.
But it's so Bears. Like, it's the usual thing of, as Dan Wiederer put it, they keep getting these horrible car crashes, and then they celebrate how well their airbags work. That this is exactly what they're doing again. It's like, we're bad, we're awful, we're miserable, and then you get a win. It's like, well, that felt good. Let's keep everybody around. Like, what are we really doing if we over-celebrate that?
Well, I don't think a win over the Packers means that you need to be not make changes. I mean, shoot, guys, if they find a way to get to 10-7, okay, which is like an absurd statement to even utter. I get that. Like, I still don't think that means there shouldn't be massive changes in the offseason. I have a feeling about how people inside Hallis Hall would spin it, because Dan, as you said, that's what they. I mean, this is the same team who, after the 2020 season, I believe we heard George McCaskey laud the way the Bears battled back from a 6-game losing streak. Like, this is what they do.
You had to go there.
Yeah, but so, like, I guess there's two things at play to your question. It's like, I would not make the Packers win mean that the Bears are back. I would tweet it jokingly, of course, but it would not mean that, like, they have the right people in place. All they do is change play callers. The worry, I guess, you could have is if they actually do find a way to a strong finish, is that going to be enough to convince people, hey, we could just keep doing the status quo thing here. It's worked out nicely. It hasn't.
I did appreciate the point you made on social media about Richard Hightower giving credit to 6 players along with DeAndre Carter when it came to his punt return.
Yes. You know, it's funny, Layla, because when we're in the press box during games, as a game's going on, you're kind of thinking what's going to be the story of the day. And when he had that punt return and a great field position after 3-and-out, I'm thinking like, oh, if they win this game and the offense plays well, that's kind of a moment. It's the longest punt return the Bears have had under Matt Eberflus and Richard Hightower, and it sparked them, right? And here we go 4 days later. I forgot that punt return even happened. Okay, but hey, Richard Hightower wants to give all his guys necessary credit. Special teams is one of the units that's been playing okay on this team. So, you know, DeAndre Carter turned out to be a nice find for them in the return game. So why not? You know, why not? Let's celebrate the 38-yard return.
DeAndre Carter has been a nice find for this team. I'm just still very concerned about the run defense that's going to face a Packers offense who knows how to run the ball.
Yeah, facing Josh Jacobs without Andrew Billings is dicey. And Jacobs has been really good. And as you said, the Packers have really good run schemes. Like, they know how to attack. I'm sure they're going to go after it. Yeah, it's a lot. You know, Jervon Dexter, like, these are the moments for him, right? Somebody asked me in my mailbag this week, what are measures of success for this team? And I look at Dexter as an example of, you want guys like him to keep growing and keep progressing and feel good about what he's going to bring to the future. I think we've seen what he can do as a pass rusher. What could he do as a run stopper? Because you really need him in this situation. Zach Pickens is a third-round pick. You need Zach Pickens to start, you know, being an impact guy now that he's in this spot.
Did you see from him?
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was okay. You know, like, they did not give up that backbreaking run, but I thought Ramondre Stevenson and Hasty still had too many kind of 5 to 7 yard chunks. That those are the things that maybe the linebackers cleaned it up, Dan, but you need the D line to to stop them from getting there. So, like, I didn't do a deep dive on Pickens, but just kind of watching some of those runs, like, there's, I think the Bears probably were okay with the result overall. But this is a much bigger test, and they'd love to see guys like Pickens, guys like Dexter. You know, if Montez Sweat can give you a little bit more, if he's healthy, setting the edge, you lose that game. If you lose against them in terms of stopping the run, like, game over.
Well, on that note, Kevin Fishbane, we always appreciate it. I have to ask you this because I asked Joe Ostrowski, Northwestern alum. Any hope for Ohio State? Do you at least think they'll cover a spread?
It's basketball season, Layla.
No,
all right.
It's basketball season. Yeah, sure, they'll cover the spread. Ohio State's got other games they're looking ahead to, so yeah, go Cats.
Okay, I'll take that level of confidence, Kevin Fishbane.
Oh, that was such a gentle, yeah, go Cats.
Are you going to the game?
I'm not going to go to that game. I've seen the Wrigley game, so the whole experience is not like a new thing. And, you know, every once in a while, it's probably nice to spend a weekend day with my children. And
It's overrated. Yeah. Forget it.
You say have another
parent. They've got another parent. They can. Somebody else could do that.
Well, that's what Sundays are for, Dan. That's the problem.
Gotcha.
As my wife likes to say, she goes, yeah, you choose to have your hobby take place during your busy work season. And which is fair. So, you know what? We're going to take Saturday off. And maybe that's what the Cats need to pull off a stunner.
There it is, Kevin Fishbane. Thank you as always.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's Kevin Fishbane. And what a special surprise we have. Look who's here.
Look who has
donned a headset. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Matt Abatacola.
How the turntables.
Yes, how the turntables. I turned it on. Are we good? I think we're good.
I think so.
There's an on-off button, I was told. He's trying to give me directions. I'm like, buddy.
I'm just a
guest. I just put the headset on. You should push the button for me.
I don't push buttons. That's why Red Tito the Challenge is here to help.
Hello. Me. Hi. How are you?
Were your ears burning this week? Because one, Dan Bernstein was actually talking about you, I believe off air, yes?
No, because I just mentioned.
It wasn't anything major. It was we were up this direction.
And someone said we'd been comparing the Eberflus denouement here to that of Mark Trestman, that of Dr. Death. And somebody sent an old YouTube of an hour on the show that we did after. We were talking about the quarterback side. It was right after Trestman announced the benching of Jay Cutler and the promotion of Jimmy Clausen, and so we're talking about, hey, we're going to take calls. We're going to take like a production meeting on the air, and you're like, yeah, I don't think we're going to take calls. And I said, let's take calls. And Terry's like, bad idea.
I said, let's not take calls.
Well, yeah, you and Terry were kind of arguing. Terry's like, well, I guess we're taking calls.
Okay.
And the first bag of calls we took, each one worse than the next, each one more preposterous than the next. I'm just turning red, and Terry's like, I told you we shouldn't take calls. I knew this was a terrible idea.
Well, that sounds about right. I mean, with this show, this old show, the station basically taking calls is never a good idea. I apologize. Everyone listening, if you do call in regularly, I apologize. You probably shouldn't. what percentage of listeners call? Is it like 1%?
One.
Yeah.
So ever called.
It's the dumbest 1%.
Have ever called?
Yes. Yeah, you don't call in if you listen to the station. It's the dumbest of the dumbest people that call in, and they call in weekly.
Except on Bears Mondays when it's been like Frank from Oak Park, Mario in Hyde Park.
Frank from Oak Park.
Our buddy and
is it like our guy Frank?
Frank
from Oak Park.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Were you worried he has a cat?
No.
I feel like it's like Gargamel, and he's like the villain background.
Oh my God! His who are you crappins all the time? Wasn't it? Or what do we call? Or would he just call in and have like long drawn
out?
Yes,
he would call
calls.
Hub. It was always during Hub when Hub
took
phone
calls. That's right. It was Hub's calls. That's
hey,
what it was.
Hub.
Yeah, that's right.
I noticed something.
It's Frank from Oak Park.
The
Hub,
third guard in the rotation.
I've noticed your underpants have been wet lately, Hub.
Wait, did you just go into coat dry voice a little bit there for your Frank impersonation?
No, that's different. Tony Medlin had the coat dry. Yeah. Hey, Jesse.
So
Jesse, put me down for a Greek salad.
Speaking of Bears football,
you actually want to talk about that?
No, I don't. Why are you guys talking about it? I mean, it's terrible. Like, have you seen?
We seem to devote every minute of programming to it.
Like, what an absolute joke of an organization that the Chicago Bears are. It's pathetic. It's absolutely terrible. You talk about being old, and we talked about this all the time. Being old doesn't make you good. It just makes you old. You don't own your own stadium. You haven't really had a good coach in forever. You know, and then you hire Eberflus. I could tell. Like, how do you interview that guy and say, yep, that's the guy I want right there? What did he say in an interview process that you say, I want to turn my franchise over to this guy? Because you hear the guy speak, it's Trestman level.
It's not even, though.
It's
way more cliche and just a string of coaching things.
Those bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the grass. All that matters is what's on the grass. Gas, grass, or ass, nobody rides for free.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Don't think you said the last part.
Oh, didn't? Are you sure?
think that might have just been you.
So how have you guys been? How have things been?
I mean, it's always good to see you. The last time I've seen you at this show was the 30th anniversary show at Real Time Sports.
Yes.
And, of course, that was a lot of fun because we just got to listen to the show.
Like,
where
are your large adult sons?
So they're all... So I don't know.
They're here?
Yeah.
Did they leave?
Oh, no. They're at the table back there. So,
hi.
Oh,
hi, Abaticola's.
Yeah, so Hank's 11. He'll be 12 on January 1st. 11. And then I have my stepsons with me. So Lucas will be 9 in January, and Griffin is 12. So 12, 11, 9. And then my 10-year-old son is with his buddies. They stayed overnight at Great Wolf Lodge.
Uh-oh.
They just got a room together, and there's like five of them. I'm not sure there's any parents with them or not.
There's three dead hookers in there,
I
guarantee you.
Well, probably, like last time. No, a van showed up in the driveway. He got out, he got in, and then he's at Great Wolf Lodge. I checked his phone.
Find my friends.
Yeah, and he's there at Great Wolf Lodge.
Smart.
He could be with adults. He could be with just his buddies.
Nah.
You don't know.
But it's especially when it's the second kid. You know,
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Second kid.
So, yeah, if it was Hank, I'd be a little concerned about it. I'd have to go out to the van to see who was picking him up. But with Jack, I'm like, he's good to go.
Ray is cracking up over here listening to the story. It sounds as unstable to you as it does to me, right? Okay, I'm just making sure.
So what else is happening?
I mean, aside from adventures and parenting.
I'm busy. As while you're talking about the second kid, I'm parenting right now. I keep getting these texts.
What's happening?
Can I go see the Lakers-Pelicans game tomorrow? I really want to see LeBron play.
And, of course, he says LeBron. So Dan's like, of course, he's the best player ever.
Where's Jason at? Is he at Dartmouth or Tulane? Or
yeah, okay. He's in New Orleans, so the Lakers are coming to the Pelicans. So
New Orleans has a basketball team?
Barely, but yes, they're all hurt.
Oh,
but Javonte Green
is that new? Is that this year?
What he's not telling the truth about is he wants to go see Javonte Green, and he's saying it's like, oh, it's special because it's LeBron. It may be LeBron's last year. When am I going to get to say so and play?
Is Javonte Green? Is he like performing at halftime?
Well, that's his dude. He's performing all the time.
What is he?
Javonte is he is a fringe player former Bull who tries to dunk every time.
He plays basketball?
Yes.
Nice. Good for him.
He does.
I would call him a disruptive presence.
He is a disruptive presence.
Okay, and LeBron's still playing?
He's had, I think, three straight triple-doubles.
The oldest in the NBA to ever do so.
Three straight triple-doubles. So that's points and
yes, I know you're not a longtime NBA guy. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Longtime sports guy. I liked watching the Bears when they were good. So that was like the early 80s. And then I watched, I'm not sure if you know, Michael Jordan. He played for the Bulls.
Yes, I've heard of him.
In the 90s. So that's, outside of that, I don't really watch sports.
Oh, you love your Cubs.
I can't tell you unless I watched a full game.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I get.
It's too much. 162.
Oh, but like ask
They're
Clown Maddie
now.
would be mad at you.
If they drop it down to like 24 games a season, I am there.
But like cargo shorts, backwards, upside down visor Maddie would be very displeased.
It wasn't
cargo
the sports watching. You know what it was? Oh, yeah.
He was
upside
quite
down.
Quite the early odds combo there.
No, no.
Were your tips frosted?
No, I never did that. I did have diamond earrings, though. But upside down
White
visor.
White stitch jeans.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was never
Some
there
of the
for
Von
this.
Dutch stuff.
No, yeah.
Oh,
you should have seen him in the Lodge era.
Well,
you wanted like the Affliction
team. Lodge.
A little like man jewelry going on, like
Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy stuff.
Is that the brand?
One of them assembled like or looked like it assembled machinery, like it was some sort
no,
of.
No, it was never for me. It was never about the sports. It was about the drinking and the hanging out. That's what it was all about.
You mean what we're doing right now?
Yes, except now it's Arnold Palmer's.
I've got water and a coffee, and we have cheese curds that you can dip in more cheese.
Yeah, that is. It's a good-looking cheese, too.
That's Merckx.
Yeah, that's good. I love it.
I agree. It's good to see you, man.
For the great family of spreadable cheeses. I'm a big fan.
It's not fair that you're not aging at the same speed as the rest of us. Well, is that just genetics?
No, I've quit drinking. And so when you quit drinking and putting poison in your body, you become healthier. It's really weird how that works.
Really?
Yeah.
Not doing it.
I don't think I want to believe that.
There's booze from the crowd now. The crowd says no.
Well, look at them. He's 39.
I didn't tell you that. Gary's 26.
He's 27.
Gary's actually 26 and a half.
Yeah. Rich is only 14. Right. Yeah. People don't realize that. And also, the other thing, too, is one thing about being here, you'll notice coming north is, you know, welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Coming south, all the billboards are now you can buy weed legally. Because the moment you get weed, a big round of applause for legal weed here at the Brat Stop, because all of the big firms have set up their stores just across the state line here for people.
Yeah,
smoke weed every day.
The area, yeah,
okay,
yeah, no, because we only live 20 minutes away, so coming up to the Brat Stop is a regular stop for us, and it's one of the best places in Wisconsin. It was great. We came here a lot during COVID, so when Wisconsin was still open, Illinois wasn't. Yeah.
This is high ceilings. There's a lot of room to move around in here.
Yeah, it's like Dan's radio career.
Oh. See, this is why we miss you.
I know. I miss you guys, too. No, I've stopped aging because the drinking, I take care of myself, and I have a skincare regimen now.
And you're exercising? Whoa. Regularly.
No, I hate exercising. I walk. I'm going to walk back to the table after this is done.
Steps Maddie. Are good.
Yeah, guys, it was great seeing you. Thanks.
Love for good to see you.
Oh, I love you, too. This is fun. Hey, guys, thank you. This is great. You guys all look the same.
The lovely Matt
really,
Abatacola.
You do. All look the same. Thank you. Right? Thanks, buddy.
And when he says you all look the same, he doesn't mean you look the same as you used to look. It's like you all look identical to each other. I think that's what he means. When we come back, James Big Cat Williams is going to join us right here and talk some football on The Score.
Dan Bernstein.
Eventually, they stop growing.
Marshall Harris.
I've stopped growing physically, but not mentally, I hope.
That's a lovely sentiment.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all trying.
I'm just here to grow with you guys. Grow.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
At our place, we're really trying to grow the man.
Middays 10 till 2.
Packers Week was something special, and because guys were on the team, I brought Kevin Butler up and talked, and I think Mark Bortz. I may have asked Steve McMichael. I can't, but I had some guys with me early that had been through it for 5, 6, 10 years, okay, maybe longer. So they—that's what a rivalry is.
I don't need to tell you that was Dave Wannstedt. You know that voice, the ubiquitous voice of football in the city of Chicago. We are here at the Brat Stop. We are outside the city of Chicago. We are technically in the city of Kenosha at the world-famous Brat Stop. It is the Bernstein and Harris Show. Spiegel and Holmes will broadcast here when we get done. Leila Rahimi, of course, is sitting in. If you want to bring a gently worn or brand new coat, the Brat Stop's going to give you a discount coupon, one per customer, and it's all brought to you by Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for a great experience. Visit ZieglerSubaru.com and Pottawatomie Sportsbook. An old friend has joined us once again, and this time it is the longtime Chicago Bear, 12-year tackle for the Bears, and now the assistant offensive line coach for Lake Forest High School. And number 7, Lake Forest, is taking on number 3, Geneva, Saturday, 1 p.m., the IHSA Class 6A football quarterfinals. He is taking time out from his game prep. James Big Cat Williams, the Pro Bowler, is with us. Man, so we called a lot of games together in the Arena League.
Yes,
I have so many fond memories of calling when the Rush were a thing.
Yeah. That was a really cool time. It was something new for me, and having the ability to learn from you and Tom Doerr was really cool.
Well, you taught me so much about line play, about how to watch line play, how to see line play in real time, and that is something that it's a skill that you've always had. And I'm just curious, when you watch these Bears, especially
we've lost him already.
You start where you want to, but when you watch a game, what are you saying to the TV?
Run the ball. you know, well, as a former offensive lineman, it's always run the ball. Run the ball sets the tempo. Run the ball gives an offensive lineman the opportunity to enforce his will. And if you've got five guys that want to enforce their will, give them that opportunity. Give them the ability to move people off the ball, to go after some people, and it makes the pass rush a little easier. So, you know, when I look at this team right now, it's, you know, we knew coming into the season that if one or two players went down across that line that there were going to be issues. And we've seen it. We've seen it to the most extreme that I thought, you know, that we could see. And it's hard because an offensive line is a unit that works well together when they've been working together. So to have to pop people in here or there, even if it's for a couple drives or a couple weeks, you know, it starts to pile up on you. And everyone always talks about communication, and you see how much different it is when you're at home, because the communication is a little bit better. But when you're on the road, when you're in a dome where you can't hear the guy next to you, now you're relying on the things that you've learned at practice, the things that you guys have done together. You know that a certain look, he's seeing the same thing. You know, it's like when people talk about a quarterback and a wide receiver. You know, you talk about Patrick Mahomes and Kelce. They kind of, they're on the same page. They see the same things. They know what the other guy is thinking. So as a tackle and a guard, if we have a three technique, I know exactly what he's thinking. If this guy now shifts to a one, I know what this guy's thinking. He knows where I'm going. I know where he's going. You have a replacement in there. Now we've got to talk to each other a little bit. Okay, you and I have these two guys. Let's make sure we're on the same page with that. And if I can't talk to you, then now I'm kind of relying on maybe you've just come into the game and you didn't get any reps this week. How much were you paying attention in practice? I mean, in meetings and in walkthroughs and things like that. So it's a rough process, but you know, that's why they always say the longer guys play together, the better they play.
It's great to get it from your standpoint, because as a multi-year veteran, as somebody who's a coach now, as somebody who's a former commentator alongside Dan, you bring all these different perspectives. And I feel like you see something pretty quickly. When you see how the Bears were talking last week about players saying things out loud to the media about practice and what was going on and how seriously it was being taken, and then you're hearing some of the commentary now after Shane Waldron gets fired, what did you think?
I'm an old get off my lawn guy. You know what I mean? I'm from that era. And in that era, we didn't really talk to the media. You know, we talked to them, but we didn't talk to them.
Right.
You know, we knew what we were going in to say, and we knew what we had to do. And you kind of keep those things in-house. So to hear...
But you were always available.
Yeah,
even after the worst loss, you never, ever, ever hid. You were always there, even on the darkest days.
Yeah, but you have to have certain people like that on the team. You have to have certain people that are going to relay the message the way it needs to be relayed, in their best truth, and know what to keep in the locker room and what to put outside the locker room. Certain things are just meant to keep in the locker room. And that's just the way I learned. That's the way I was taught. So to hear all the communication coming from the players was a little hard for me. You know, it kind of reminded me of dealing with my son. Not everything's a discussion. Just do what I tell you to do and you'll be okay. You know what I mean? But I understand that we're in different times now. And it's still hard for me. You know, it's a locker room is a sacred place. And for the individuals that are in that locker room, that's our safe spot. You know, so to take things and put it out there in the media, even if you are feeling you know, that's a conversation that you have with your clique. You know, there are cliques in locker rooms. They, you know, these guys hang out with each other in the locker room, outside the locker room. But, yeah, you keep it in there and you deal with it. That was a lot for me. That was a lot.
I mean, I like asking you, Olin's talked about it on our air before. I feel like he had a similar take when it came to just his sensibilities of how he used to do things.
Right.
But we're blessed to have so much offensive line talent as former players who do speak out and who do give their takes and who have this experience and share it with us. And so it's always great to hear perspective because really that's how we better understand what's happening.
Yeah, it's you know, with all the things that are going on at Hallis Hall right now, there just seem to be so many distractions. And that's just another distraction added on top of it. You know, let's figure this out in-house. Let's get it situated. And let's get back on the field and show everyone that, you know, it's not as bad as you think it is. Even though it is,
I'm looking.
Fake it until you make it.
Right.
I'm looking at some stats here, and this is especially with the number of and the constant litany of injuries the Bears seem to have had along the offensive line, and especially somebody like Tevin Jenkins who comes back and he's hurt. When James Williams became a full-time player for the Bears after making the switch from defensive end to defensive tackle. And then finally to tackle, inserted into the starting lineup in 1994, 16 games, 15 starts. And then I'm going to go all through the next years. 16 games, 16 starts. 16 games, 16 starts. 16 and 16. 16 and 16. 1, 2, 3, 4 more years of 16 and 16. Every single game up until you stopped playing. How much of durability, and I think it sounds funny to celebrate answering the bell, to celebrate durability,
right.
But I, you know, having been there for so many of those years, and it was just never even a question, and how much of that is luck, how much of that is genetics, and how much of that is knowing the difference between something hurting and being injured?
Good genes, hard work, I didn't learn how to physically take care of myself until I was in college, and that's when I really got into lifting. Prior to that, I was just country strong, you know, Pittsburgh kid, carrying drywall, metal studs, things like that for my dad. But I got with a couple of kids from Florida when I was in college, and they taught me how to lift. And the more I did it, the sturdier I became. The more I did it, the more I could oppose my will on other people. So it was, you know, there wasn't Pilates and there wasn't all these different techniques for working out. And then when I got to the Bears, I learned a different style of working out. Richard Dent took me with him.
Was that the Clyde Emmerich stuff? Yes.
No. Oh. This was Bob Schultz.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And they started putting me through stuff. And it was funny because the first time I went with Richard, I went over there. They made me throw up. And I swore to God I'd never go back. And about a month later, I realized that that was exactly what I needed.
Wow.
So the weight I was able to put on, the muscle, the... just all that combined, and I didn't want to miss a play. I didn't want to miss a game. I had injuries. You know, we all play with injuries. It's the NFL. I was a free agent. So, you know, up until my last day, I was always worried about somebody coming in and taking my job. So, you know, I fought for everything. I fought for everything. And then, you know, you get people around you that are into the same things. So it's all about you all coming together and you learn different things and you push through things and you push through these things together.
When we come back, we can stay another segment because I want to ask you about your experience blocking for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I think it's worth talking about. So we will do that when we do more with James Big Cat Williams, Bernstein and Harris, and Layla Rahimi on The Score.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
Angelo Cataldi, the voice of Philadelphia for a generation.
Piece of advice. I worked with that man for a number of years. I'm still remembering things I fought with Marshall about that he was right about and I was wrong about.
Thank you for the kind words.
Don't argue with him. He's usually right.
First things first, Keyshawn home opener. Cade McNown and the Razzle Dazzle Bears hoping to pull off an upset. But very quickly, when it was in and out of the hands of James Allen and intercepted by Donnie Abraham, he Martins and Johns it for a couple of picks in the first half. Bears get the ball back. McNown, fumbled exchange. Rumbling, stumbling, fumbling. Again, Giants recover. More offensive problems for Chicago. Cade McNown, rolling, throwing. He's picked off by Kurt Schultz. He knows something three times. Kurt Schultz.
That's exactly the rookie quarterback I had in mind. How did Adam Studzinski possibly know?
Studs, you suck, man.
Is conversation with James Big Cat Williams here at the Brat Stop is going to go. Big Cat Williams, who in 2001... was second team AP All-Pro, as well as being a Pro Bowler as the Bears' stalwart right tackle. And he is joining us here, just on this enemy side of the Cheddar Curtain for our big Brat Bowl day. So I wanted to ask you, and I know this people are already going to be mad at me, and saying, Bernstein, how dare you equate Caleb Williams to Cade McNown? And please, please let me explain. That isn't my intention, and I am not necessarily trying to do that. But what I want to know is, through the lens of an offensive lineman, what it means for a rookie to understand where the blocks are, how the pocket is shaped, and how long one should hold on to the ball. What's on him and what's on the line?
Well, I think some of that is also coaching. It is imperative with a young quarterback that you don't give them too much to think about. Now, don't get me wrong, this is the NFL, so they have to be able to think on their feet. But the more things that you can give him that he doesn't have to think about, and when I say that, I'm talking about pass concepts. Drop back three steps, hit your third step, the slant should be wide open. The slant's not wide open, now you have to become a quarterback. You know, now you have to become that guy that everybody thinks you are. Okay, you have to make an adjustment. You have to know where your second read is. Okay, taking a rookie quarterback past his second or third read early in a season, I'd say could be a lot. You know, giving a rookie quarterback an opportunity to change almost every play at the line of scrimmage could be a lot. Not having a strong running game to rely on could be a lot. Mm-hmm. If you are able to run the ball, stay in manageable third downs, give him opportunities on third downs to get rid of the ball quick because we're in short third downs, he has an opportunity to grow, to be a little more secure in his own skin and start to thrive. If he starts off the other way, we've seen that. We've seen that too much. I think Caleb is a very smart quarterback. And I think and don't get me wrong, I'm not in that locker room every day, so I don't really know. But to see some of the things that he's able to do, the way he's able to throw the ball at times, the arm angle that he throws with, the ability to get out of the pocket and keep his eyes downfield, are all things to grow on. Now you just have to get him in a position where not only he's comfortable, but everybody around him is comfortable. Because right now, it just looks like everybody's stressed the hell out. And they're playing like they're stressed out. And
can you blame them though? I mean, with everything they've been through and with the squishy leadership they've gotten, it seems like they're bearing a lot of stress that it should be the coaches bearing and trying to take the pressure off of them.
Yeah, I agree. But you're also being paid to play this game. And you're being paid a lot. So you have to take care of your business. You know, we can't, as a locker room, as an offense, we can't take care of what we need to until every individual starts taking care of their own thing. You know, the offensive line has to block. You have to run block. You have to pass block when it's that time. Wide receivers have to catch the ball. They have to run the correct routes. They have to be where they're supposed to be. If it's a blitz adjust, they have to blitz. They have to make their adjustments. Quarterback needs to know where everybody is.
Sounds like coordination.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's funny because, like you said, I moved to offense from defense. So Tony Wise was my predominant teacher. And learning not only what I had to do across the line, but learning what was going on behind me. Learning what was going on route-wise, knowing that if we called a certain protection, yes, it's a five-step drop, but Curtis Conway is running a hitch and go, and that's going to take a little longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's the finite pieces of a play that you need to know, that everyone needs to know, so that we can all work together for that one common goal.
When you talk about what you're observing, I think in such a really, like, not just eloquent, but you can visualize what you're saying way. Like, you can absolutely visualize what you're seeing with the Bears being stressed out. You can see the audibles at the line of scrimmage,
been
which
there,
we've
done
talked
that,
about
forever. Been there, done that.
All of that said, what would be your advice to a rookie quarterback, having your experience in the league, seeing what you're seeing in this scenario?
Suck it up, Buttercup. I mean, it's hard, man. You're playing the most dominant position in the NFL. You have to be able to grow. You have to be able to learn from the good and the bad that has gone on around you. And you have to take that and you have to make it your own. You have to be able to go out there Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever day it is, and perform. And these guys are going to follow you if you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, now you start to get little murmurs in the locker room. Now you start to get, and I don't know where it all came from, but, you know, talking about putting the backup quarterback in for him doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. But things like that are going to start coming out when you have division in your locker room. So, I mean, just, I wish the kid all the luck in the world. I think that they have to figure out what's going on up front. And, you know, you're so far into the season now that you have to make what you have work. Yeah. So you've got to figure out what these five guys or what these nine guys are good at. And you have to get them to the point where they perform. And that'll make it a lot easier on everybody else.
James, thanks for making the drive up.
Thanks.
And
thanks for having me.
They love you even here in Wisconsin, despite the rivalry. James Big Cat Williams, our guest on the Bernstein and Harris Show, Sports Radio 670. Adam Hoge next on The Score.